Good morning, and welcome back to America's Leaders from Coast to Coast, the 250th Anniversary Edition. Today is day 67 of the year, Sunday, March 8th, 2026. I'm Stephen.
And I'm Leah.
We are wrapping up our weekend historical deep dive today with one of the most heartbreaking, frustrating what-ifs in all of American history. We are looking at a brilliant scholar and a battlefield general who never even wanted the job, and whose presidency was tragically cut short after just 200 days. We are talking about the 20th President of the United States, James A. Garfield.
Stephen, James A. Garfield had an absolute powerhouse of a brain. He was born into brutal poverty in a literal log cabin in Ohio. His father died when he was a baby, but he had this insatiable desire to learn. He worked as a canal boy just to earn enough money to go to school. By his mid-20s, he was a classics professor and the president of a college. There is this legendary, famous story about him that he was perfectly ambidextrous and that he could entertain his friends by writing in Greek with one hand while simultaneously writing in Latin with the other.
He was a genuine intellectual. But when the Civil War broke out, he proved he was just as capable on the battlefield. He had no military training, but he just read textbooks on military strategy, joined the Union Army, and rose to the rank of Major General. He fought at the massive battles of Shiloh and Chickamauga, but President Abraham Lincoln actually pulled him out of the army. Lincoln told Garfield, "I have plenty of generals, but I desperately need pro-Union military minds in the House of Representatives." So Garfield goes to Congress, and he serves there for 18 years, becoming the absolute intellectual leader of the Republican Party.
And that sets the stage for the craziest political convention in American history in 1880. Because Stephen Garfield didn't even run for president. The Republican Party was totally split between two factions, the stalwarts, who wanted a third term for Ulysses S. Grant, and the half-breeds, who wanted James G. Blaine. Garfield went to the convention in Chicago just to manage the campaign for a completely different guy, John Sherman.
Right, but the convention is totally deadlocked. Nobody can get a majority, and eventually Garfield gets up to give a nominating speech for Sherman. And he is such a brilliant, captivating orator that the delegates in the room just stop and think, wait, why don't we just vote for him? On the 34th ballot, a few delegates switch their votes to Garfield. Garfield literally stands up in the middle of the convention and shouts, "I have not consented to this. I forbid this." He tries to stop them, but the momentum is unstoppable, and he is nominated on the 36th ballot. He is the only sitting House member to ever be directly elected to the presidency.
So he takes office in March of 1881, and he immediately proves how tough he is. He goes to war with the most powerful political boss in America, Senator Roscoe Conkling of New York. Conkling was a stalwart who demanded the right to control all the lucrative political appointments at the New York Custom House. This was the spoils system, where politicians handed out government jobs to their friends to maintain power. Garfield refused to back down. He asserted the constitutional power of the presidency, appointed his own reformer, and completely broke Conkling's power.
He also started pushing heavily for universal, federally funded education. Following the end of Reconstruction, Garfield realized that the only way African Americans in the South were going to be protected and elevated was through a massive national education system. He had this incredible vision for the country, but it was all shattered on the morning of July 2, 1881.
It is such a senseless tragedy. Garfield is walking through the Baltimore and Potomac Railroad Station in Washington, D.C., getting ready to go on a summer vacation. And a man named Charles J. Guiteau steps up behind him and shoots him twice in the back. Guiteau was a completely delusional, failed lawyer. He had written a tiny pamphlet during the campaign, and he was completely convinced that his pamphlet was the only reason Garfield won the election. Because of the spoils system, Guiteau felt the president owed him a job. Specifically, he wanted to be the American consul in Paris. When he was rejected, he decided to assassinate the president.
After he shot Garfield, Guiteau famously shouted, "I am a stalwart of the stalwarts. Arthur is president now," referring to Vice President Chester A. Arthur. But Stephen, here is the absolute most tragic part of the story. The assassin's bullets did not kill James A. Garfield. The doctors killed him. The bullet that lodged in his abdomen didn't hit his spine. It didn't hit any vital organs. If he had been shot 20 years later, they would have just left the bullet in him, and he would have recovered in a few weeks.
But modern germ theory wasn't fully accepted in America yet. So a team of incredibly arrogant doctors, led by a guy named Dr. Willard Bliss, take over. As Garfield is lying on the train station floor, these doctors start sticking their unwashed, unsterilized fingers and probing instruments deep into his open wound, trying to dig the bullet out. They transport him back to the White House, and for the next 79 days, they essentially torture him. They restrict his diet so much that he starves, losing nearly 100 pounds.
It was horrific. And it gets even crazier. They were so desperate to find the bullet that they actually called in Alexander Graham Bell, the inventor of the telephone. Bell had invented a primitive metal detector, and they brought it to the White House to scan the president's body. But the device kept giving false readings. It turns out, Dr. Bliss refused to let them move the president off his bed, and Garfield was lying on a mattress made with metal coil springs. The springs were throwing off the machine, and Bliss's ego wouldn't let anyone override his orders.
Because of the constant, unsterilized probing, Garfield's body was riddled with massive systemic infections. After agonizing for 2.5 months, the 20th president finally passed away on September 19, 1881. The entire country was completely devastated.
His death really shocked the conscience of the nation. The public was so outraged by Guiteau and the corrupt system that drove him to murder that Congress was finally forced to pass the Pendleton Civil Service Reform Act. They finally made it a law that federal jobs had to be awarded based on merit and exams, not political favors. So in a way, his death permanently fixed the system.
The brilliant scholar from a log cabin.
The reluctant president, who was destroyed by medical hubris.
That is President James A. Garfield.
That is our profile for the 20th president. We will see you tomorrow as we head back into the modern congressional roll call. Please note, AI assists in the creation of this podcast from pointedwords.com, and remember, better pointed words than pointed swords.